It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, howdy, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for taking some time to join us here on our weekly outdoor show on KETR. How about this cold weather? We were waiting for a blast of Arctic air to get these numbers of ducks down the central flyway here, and I can honestly say I don't know if they're here yet. I haven't had a chance to get out and scout, but I'm betting that this cold front pushed a bunch of ducks into northeast Texas. Our guest today is one of my best friends. I've hunted and fished with Mark Bellette for years. Mark owns B&C Outfitters. He's an archery tech bow technician down in Trinity County. He's been our guest before, and like I say, Mark and I have hunted together from northern Colorado to south Texas. We spent a lot of time in the woods hunting and fishing together. Mark, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Hey, Luke, how are you?
I couldn't be better. How about this cold air we've got in here? This ought to push some ducks down, don't you think?
Oh, yes, it's cold, and just as I was hoping, a good group of birds came in with it.
Well, the thing is, folks, Mark has got about a 20-acre lake half a mile from his house that's tucked back in the woods. He has a hunting ranch down in Trinity County, and they hunt a lot of hogs and exotics. But you're privy to watching that lake. That's a good barometer in it, Mark. You can tell when you can probably see exactly what's happening with the ducks.
We do, and we're out there every day hunting, and it gives me a first-hand look at what birds are coming in and what's moving.
Yeah, well, we've had we've had huntable numbers of gadwalls, where I hunt, I've only seen two flights of mallards so far, but this ought to push those old mallards in. What it does, Mark, as you well know, and most of our listeners, I imagine, when the snow and ice hits those grain fields up in the upper Midwest, you know, where the ducks have been feeding, eating corn, and even up in the Dakotas, they eat barley and everything. The grain is covered up, and then the ponds freeze up. So they've got to have water to roost on and feed, and that's when they come on down. So next week I'm going to try to devote a couple of days, Mark, to getting the decoys out and doing some duck hunting. And, you know, these will in essence be new birds we're hunting, don't you think?
Oh, yes. I'm ready for the same program.
You're always ready if it's some hunting involved, that's for sure. Well, folks, Mark is an expert. He's a bow technician. He has a bow shop down there between Groveton and Trinity, down in Trinity County. And the hunting ranch, the bow shop's right on the hunting ranch. So I truly don't know anybody, Mark, that spends more time in the woods tracking game, working with hunters, skinning and quartering up meat than you do. It's not a hobby anymore like it used to be with us. It's a lifestyle, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely a full-time job. It's fun to do, but it's also a lot of work. I enjoy it, and my drive to work is a very nice one.
Yeah, you jump on the electric buggy and load up the hunters and head out. Just to give our listeners an idea, say the past 10 days, you have had probably how many hunters on the place that you've had? A bunch of guys have been hunting, haven't they?
I think in 12 days I was at 32.
That's a lot. And you've got the JB Ranch, which is your family ranch that you've actually ran since you was about 16 or 17. I know that. But it's over 2,000 acres, I know, but you've got some real heavy cover, about 500 or 600 acres under a game-proof fence. And folks, don't let that fool you. There's all kind of misconceptions about hunting hogs or whatever under a game-proof fence. In heavy cover, I can tell you, those hogs down there, Mark, they're wild hogs to start with. And if anything, they know the program. They learn that 500 or 600 acres pretty well. They're as challenging to hunt inside a fence, maybe a little bit more so, don't you think?
I agree completely. They're just as challenging in a fence. The only thing the fence can do is control where they stay. So it just increases our odds of seeing them, and that's why people want to go hunting, to see the game.
That's it in a nutshell. How many times have I hunted free-ranging hogs that, you know, that they travel? And I use trail cameras. I've got three trail cameras in the woods 1 mile from my house on some free-ranging hogs. Here's what really happens, folks, and if you hunt hogs, you know this. I watch those cameras, and I think the world has turned into wild hogs. I'll see hogs at every camera for three or four nights, and then usually when I try to pick and choose when I hunt, I say, okay, I think I'll go out there this evening with my sniper light system and put on my bow, and I'll just shoot one. Well, they're not. They change. They might be 5 miles down the creek. So that's the thing about hunting on a place like yours, Mark. They're just the same wild hogs. The cover is the same. They're just as challenging, but they're not 10 miles down the creek, right?
Correct. They just can't move away from you, and it just increases your odds of seeing them. They're still plenty wild. There's nothing easy about them, but we try to see them.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the white-tailed deer, I want to tell you, Mark, I was hunting right here by my house 2 days ago, actually. And I've been pretty choosy. I've had a chance to shoot a couple of two-and-a-half-year-old 8-points. Both of them were. One was just a surefire shot at about 20 yards. But I passed on those. I've hunted so long, my goal is to get one with some, well, number one, some packing some venison. I'm needing some venison, too. But I shot an 8-point that was 3.5. And I get a kick out of these guys. You see a lot on TV. Well, this one's a 4.5, or this one's a 6.5. All that is pretty much iffy. But the truth is, Mark, and you know this, a year-and-a-half-old deer, we always know what they are. A 2.5-year-old buck, I'm talking about, you can always peg him. And then a 3.5, it's easy for me to tell a 2.5 to a 3. But a 3.5 or 4.5, that's kind of iffy, you know. But I got a nice heavy-bodied, if you were to actually put a tape on him, he'd probably score somewhere around, honestly, probably 115, 119, somewhere right in there. But a nice heavy buck. So he was still, he had bark in his antlers, some cedar bark, and his neck was still in full rut. I mean, his neck was swollen up. I found not a real active scrape, but about 50 feet from where I shot him with my bow, I found the remains of a scrape. So the rut is down in South Texas, it's about to kick off. But where we hunt, Mark, it's kind of on the tail end. It's got to be, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, and we're seeing the same thing here. I wouldn't say the bucks are in full swing, but they're still interested, and they're still picking up does that may have missed. And what's good, what I find, too, this time of year is that they come to the food plots and some of the feeders a little better, and you still have a chance of, them looking for a doe. So kind of a good time of year to hunt, I think.
It definitely is, and you don't have to worry about people like us that are all about the meat, too. You don't have to worry about it so much. It's, it's cold, and really... let's touch on that a minute, Mark. Meat care, taking care of the meat when you harvest something. I found this to be the truth. I've known people to shoot deer and just jump on them and skin them and fry the steaks that night. Well, it can be good, especially the backstrap. But venison, in particular, is a whole lot better if you can let that meat leach out in an ice cooler, even let the blood get out of the meat for about 24 hours or 48 hours, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a walk-in cooler. I use it. I like it, but I still prefer to do it what I'm going to call the old-fashioned way, like we've always done it. Put them in a cooler and just keep the water drained off and add new ice. And I even leave mine for 2 and 3 days. I just find it just to help a bunch. I really like it that way.
Well, I've got reached a stage where I take my time processing the meat now. I've always liked to do it, but in earlier years I was always seemed to be rushed, and I'd cut the steaks too quickly, and I wouldn't take the time to trim the meat like it should be trimmed. But I took put that in the cooler, and I may do a ham and a backstrap, and then I use the freezer, the vacuum sealer, and seal those steaks. And I actually cut the steaks and use this little unit called a jacquard, which is it's a little tenderizer with about 100 little sharp prongs that stick down in the meat. And I run that jacquard over each and every steak, and then I vacuum seal it. So when it gets time to cook it, well, all you have to do is defrost it and season it up, and you're ready to go. So, but that now is a good time to get out there and hunt. Mark, I want to brag on that bow, too, that you set up for me. It's a Darton 3800. And you were telling me, I've been shooting the Dartons now for a couple of years, but you told me how fast they are. We chronographed this one at I think right now it's pulling, or when we chronographed it, it was 58 pounds, something like that, draw weight. 301 is what it chronographed. And, Mark, this deer wasn't far, about 19 yards, the best I could judge, when I shot at this buck. I made a good shot on it. That arrow went through and stuck in the ground. Those darting bows shoot hard.
That's right. I found that on everything from 180-pound pigs to whitetails, even some shoulder plates in the way. It's mm-hmm. just the bow. I'm really, really impressed the way it shoots.
You know, it's amazing on some of the archery equipment. Dartons are been around. I guess darting bows been around, what, 30 years, maybe longer? I don't know. Long
64
time.
Years.
How long?
64 years.
64 years. A darting bows. No wonder they've got it down so well. I didn't realize they'd been around that long. But, you know, people that know about them are, like me, almost on the fanatic as far as liking them. Folks could go online to Darton Archery and check these things out. The 3800 that I shoot, Mark, is, well, it's more or less their the bigger selling bow, isn't it? They make a 39 that's maybe a little faster.
Correct, and a little bit smaller, just mm-hmm. maybe for ground blind hunting, but I would say the 3800 is probably their flagship bow.
Flagship bow, that's the word I was thinking about. Yep, and it after you hunt and shoot this thing, it's understandable why. Since you've set it up, I've had to make no adjustments. I did follow your instructions and tighten all the bolts up, you know, after a few rounds. But after that initial tightening of all the bolts on this 3800, it stayed put. I guess that first few jolts that after shooting it, after one set up, that's when they come, have a tendency to loosen up, right?
Right, it's good to just double check them all, and after that first round, you're pretty much set.
You're ready to go. Well, Mark, let's do this. Let's connect folks that may not have a place to hunt deer, or your ranch is known for some monster axis deer, and you've got a bunch of elk in there. And I'll tell you what, going in that area with a bow for the elk, do not think it's an easy hunt. It can be if you play the wind right and you sneak up on them, but you're in for pretty much, especially with a bow, you're in for a hunt, aren't you, Mark?
Absolutely. We've had to work for them, but like you said, every once in a while we get lucky and get them right into a feeder or something. So
yeah,
it's a fun hunt.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, of course, I hunt up in northern Colorado. We outfit. You work with us up there, too, elk hunts up in the mountains. But a person that does, not everybody can take the time off or get up there on an elk hunt in the high country. But a cow elk down here in Texas, Mark, is very affordable, and you've got a lot of good meat when you get one too, isn't it?
That's right. And you know, with cleaning facility and everything here, I know people are pressed for time. It helps roll things along.
You bet. Mark, let's leave the website and a phone number where people can connect with you. How about it?
Sure. You can check my website out. It's easttexasexotics.com. And just go right to BNC Outfitters. You can also reach me by phone. My number is 936-544-0882.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.